You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome back to the Weekly Youth Leader Training for the Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. This week, Karen and I will cover Unit 28, Session 3, Faithful in Hard Times. So if you are using the suggested use dates, we are stepping back into the Gospel Project content proper. We took a week out to do Christmas, a session on Christmas, of course, and so we're stepping back in. We have been in the book of Acts, but here's where we are kind of taking a parallel look at the formation of the church by looking at some epistles. So every unit in this volume will end with a look at an epistle or two after a session or two on the book of Acts. And I think that is the same logic that we're following next volume as well. So that's kind of the pattern that you can get used to. So Karen, Faithful in Hard Times, what are we looking at in this session?
Okay, well, you know, the last couple weeks, well, before Christmas, we were talking about, you know, Peter, how he was kind of the primary figure that we see in this first part of Acts. So we're seeing, you know, his part in the early church. And so today we are seeing one of the epistles that Peter wrote, and this one is 1 Peter. And so remember in the story where Peter healed the man who couldn't walk, that Peter and John were arrested for telling people about Jesus, and they said, we have to keep telling about Jesus. But so we see now, you know, further on in, you know, the church is going through hard times. They're experiencing persecution. And so Peter writes this letter to encourage them to be faithful and tell them how they can be faithful through these hard times.
All right. And as we begin talking about any areas of caution or extra prep time, let me kind of go first and kind of set this up again. If you are following the suggested use dates, then you've noticed we just said twice, you kind of have to go back. You're stepping back into the chronology, but then we're stepping back to letters, not Acts. So I want you to really be sure to take your time and establish the context of this session. Use the giant timeline if you have that resource available. If there's one area that I would encourage leaders to build an extra time if they're able to, it's always that about minute or so that we allot for kind of setting the stage for a session. Sometimes that's more than enough. But many times like this one, you probably want to build yourself extra elbow room to make sure your kids are following where we're looking at here. So again, it makes sense. We're studying Peter, his role in the early church, and so we're going to look at a letter Peter wrote. Now, the letter he wrote is actually later in history. If you kind of did a chart of the years when things happen, Peter did not write this letter this close to the front of Acts. But that really doesn't matter for our kids' perspective. For them, I think, to latch on and say, all right, we're talking about Peter. Peter's really involved in helping the early church. Here's a letter Peter wrote. I think that is something that you can get on the kids' radars. They can understand it and give you context for this session. So one thing that I would encourage you from another kind of bigger perspective of this session is this. Keep in mind that God has not promised to spare his people from hard times. He has not promised that. You cannot find that promise in Scripture because it does not exist. So let's not promise what God has not promised. And we can do this with the best of intentions at times. But it would be wrong of us not only to speak what God has not spoken, but to misspeak what we know he has spoken. And he has promised us as believers, actually, that we will go through adversity. We will be persecuted for our faith and so forth. That is what he clearly has told us. And so what we want to do is just make sure that we're real with our kids, we're honest with them, and we don't want to misrepresent the gospel. We don't want to speak for God what he has not said or misrepresent what he has said. Instead, what we want to do is be clear to share with our kids that God has promised us something in regard to hard times. That's what we're going to talk about in this session. He's going to give us the power to get through those hard times, and he will be with us. So again, just a big idea. Be careful as you approach this. Don't let your heart lead your mouth to run away from the gospel, because our hearts want to protect our kids. We don't want to have to say, hey, life is hard. And that comes from a good heart posture. But if you let your mouth take and run away with that idea, we can misrepresent God, and that's not good. So kind of extra caution for us. How about you, Karen? What about preschool babies and toddlers? What are some things we have to keep in mind?
Well, just some extra prep things. One of the activities is to invite a church leader. So that's something you'll want to arrange ahead of time. And I just want to encourage you, you know, definitely make the effort to do this. But don't be too hurt if your church leader, if it's like one of your church staff, that they kind of have to pop in and run. You know, just remember that Sunday mornings are going to be their busiest day, busiest time. And so, you know, do whatever you can to be flexible so they can visit your class. And so your kiddos can be exposed to that leader. So I think it's worth doing, you know, but just give your leader grace if it's a little hard for them to pull off, yeah, is my word of caution there. And then the last couple weeks I've been building up to it. We're letting you know we're making some giveaway bags today. And great if you can contact families ahead of the session and get them to, you know, donate the items that you need. And two, you know, a lot of times when we do these activities, we just, you know, donate it to like a food bank or whatever. But in this one, we're really encouraging you to have your families take those home, keep them in their car, and give them away when they notice someone in need. And some of you may live in areas where, you know, here in Nashville, I mean, man, I see people on the side of the road in need all the time. But then, you know, if you're living in an area where maybe you don't see someone in need, then I'd still suggest that you encourage the family to donate that item, those items to a local food bank. Again, you could do this yourself, but I think that there's a lot of value in the family, you know, doing that together. So I encourage you in that. And then for babies and toddlers, a few activities that, you know, you kind of need to have on your radar. One is creating sticker art, and you're going to use emotion stickers. I'm just thinking about the sticker stash at our church, and even, you know, when I was on church staff, I don't know that I necessarily would have had emotion stickers, you know, right there. But I did a quick, you know, Google search. You can get them at local craft stores or order them, you know, from an online retailer. So I would encourage you to pick some of those up this week. And then two, if you, you know, are trying to save a little bit of money, you could definitely just get some of the really inexpensive circle stickers and draw faces on those. So, you know, kids love stickers. So I encourage you to do that. And then another activity is they're sorting emotion pictures. So you're going to want to go through some magazines ahead of time and cut out people showing different emotions. Another activity is to listen to music. You're going to alternate between playing clips of music that's upbeat and happy, and then slow and sad using, you know, an electronic device, likely your phone. But in that, you're going to need to be careful to make sure that you don't accidentally play an inappropriate ad or inappropriate lyric. So I do think it would be wise to, you know, choose your songs ahead of time. So another activity that's going to require a little extra prep is to rescue frozen people, which is going to be so fun. So it's definitely worth taking the time to do it. And basically you're going to take some of your plastic people figures. You're going to freeze them in large silicone ice molds. And I would say too, you could probably, if you don't have those, I'm just thinking like here at my house, I don't have those. But you could definitely use paper cups as well and just rip away the cup. But it's going to be fun. They're going to put those in a tub and drop, you know, water on them to melt the ice. So lots of fun stuff, but it does require a little bit of pre-planning. But worth it.
Yeah, and in light of that, the youngest of our kids and our oldest of our kids are going to be doing something very similar, which is kind of fun for this week.
Interesting. Yeah.
Our older kid leader guides has an activity called Frozen Pennies, where you freeze a penny, and do something with it. It's kind of a similar idea, and I just wanted to kind of get the same warning on the radar. If you're an older kid's leader, you can't do that the morning of. If you're driving to church right now and you've got a bag of pennies on your lap and a cup of water, it's probably not going to work the way you are imagining it working. So again, if you're listening to this episode ahead of time, then just don't forget the night before or whatever. Go ahead and do the work for setting up that frozen penny thing, just like that other frozen people thing. One other activity to kind of draw awareness to is in the younger kids leader guide, there's an activity called encouraging words. And again, anytime I see an activity like that, my radar always goes up because I'm always wanting to be sensitive toward our kids, and especially a kid who may not hear any encouraging words. And I want to prevent that from happening. So the idea of this one is that it's set up that you're in a circle and every kid tells the person to his or her left something encouraging. You may do it in a different way. But however it turns out, whenever you have kids who are prompted to encourage other kids, there are two things I'm concerned about. Again, one is that kid who doesn't hear anything encouraging. So you want to make sure every kid hears something encouraging. And the other thing is, this is odd. This is awkward for a lot of kids. They're not used to doing this. And whenever a younger kid especially encounters a situation that's difficult or different, their answer is usually humor. The way they deal with this is to be funny. And so you just be ready for that, that when you go around this, it may happen this way. And if it does, wonderful, that the kids sincerely start encouraging one another and it's just a great time. But it's also highly likely that this will be a struggle at first because the first kid who does this will not know what to say. He or she will feel uncomfortable and may make it a joke and find some kind of, you know, goofy, silly encouragement. Stop it right there. If you're leading that group, don't be angry or upset, of course. But be honest with them, help them navigate what they're feeling, the discomfort they may be feeling. And just use it as a teachable moment and really work with your kids to think of ways to encourage one another genuinely. Help them, prompt them. You may have to pivot and do this whole activity in a different way where you may be more involved. So you want to come ahead of time knowing what are some things that you would say to encourage all the kids in your normal group and be ready for guests as well. It's a little bit hard when you have a guest. But just think about this. Some of you may be thinking, all right, I'm going to choose the other option then because I just want to avoid that. Let me encourage you. A little play there I did. Let me encourage you. This, I think it's worth it. You have such a good teachable moment here. I think it's worth the risk and try this one out because the reward can be great. If you actually get some encouragement heard and shared by your kids, that may be the only encouragement they hear all week. So I would just, you know, really try this one, lean heavily toward this one and do whatever you can to make it work. All right. So now we get to the point where we kind of share what we're excited about God potentially doing through this session. I'll go first. I've kind of said it before. This session is one where we need to be real. We can be real in appropriate ways with our kids and talk about the gospel. Is beautiful, but it also is not devoid of challenge. And what I mean by that, again, is what I said earlier, that God has promised us that we will experience difficulty in life. And what we don't want to do is sugarcoat the gospel and either present half-truths, as I talked about, or distortions even. What we want to do is we want our kids to hear this with sincerity. Following Jesus is great. Let's be crystal clear about that. There's nothing better. It is the one way we can experience life as God intended it. It's how we can have joy, purpose. The list goes on and on and on. Following Jesus is wonderful. There's nothing better. However, it's hard as well. And those two are not mutually exclusive in God's economy. So what we can do this week is be honest with our kids about this. Share from our experiences, again, in appropriate ways. Share how we have struggled following Jesus, some things that have been hard for us. Some of these we'll be able to show how God held our hand through it, how he sustained us. Some we may not be able to, and that's okay. Don't think you can only share a story of difficulty if you have this nice, you know, packaged conclusion to it. No, I think it's good and fitting for our kids to hear, you know what, I went through a hard time and I still don't understand why I went through it, but I'm trusting God. So we have this amazing experience to be real with our kids, and in doing so, give them a realistic view and expectation of what life following Jesus is really all about. And it can help them prepare to live in that regard as they live to serve King Jesus. So I'm excited about talking about difficulties in life, ironically. I think that's a good, good thing, and it's a gift God has given us this week. What about you, Karen? What are you excited about God potentially doing?
Yeah, mine's along the same lines. I mean, especially just, you know, with the title, you know, going through faithful and hard times. Again, I think one of the reasons I'm just so honored to be a part of the Gospel Project is that a lot of times we do stories that you're not going to hear in other curriculum. And so, but I think this is so relevant for kids. I just think it's so important that kids learn early on that the Christian life is not an easy life. It's going to be hard. And I think by doing that, ironically enough, we're setting them up for just a much happier life. I think about so many adult believers, me included, that we have this misguided notion that things are going to go our way, that things should work out for us here on earth. But the reality is it's just not going to. And when we can just accept that, you know, life is hard, but, you know, and two, when those hard times come, we don't put on this fake happy face that everything's okay and I'm just happy in God. But, you know, like, this really is hard, but God is with me and He's going to see me through this. And I think that, you know, as we, I mean, think back at your, we can all think back in our own life how God has brought us through something hard and it's, you know, helped us see things in a better perspective. And I just think it gives us more joy so that when things do work out, we can know, you know, that's a gift of God to rejoice in. I think it makes us more appreciative of the good times and even helps us see just like the joy in everyday thing. So I think we're setting our kids up for a happier life if we're realistic that being a Christian is going to be hard, but God is with you and He'll help you.
I agree completely, Karen. And I think, again, we need to be careful to let our kids understand this. There may be some difficulties in life that we'll never understand this side of eternity. And so what we don't want to say is God will help you through all these difficulties and you'll come out the other side and you'll understand it. And that may not be the case. When God does give us that perspective here on earth, I consider that bonus. But what we do know for sure is that in eternity, we will all say, this makes sense. I understand why you did it. And God, you are good and you're glorious. And everything you did, even these hard situations I didn't understand then, I understand now are for your glory and my good. So that future hope is what we want. With that, we can tell our kids with confidence for sure that we will understand and see clearly that day at least. All right, so let's wrap it up there for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We hope that you have found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschool. And for more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.